AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Del. It's a really a good thing that I listen to the intro because he now he's usually talking in the middle.
Well, you turn the mics on.
He turns the mics.
You turn the mics on. That was a close call.
Well, I don't turn your mic
call.
On.
No, he doesn't. I told you we were fine yesterday, Del. Del's like, well, he doesn't really care, but Bam Adebayo's out and. Got all these, although Dragic got upgraded to probable,
and then he came off the bench,
and
which
then he
is
came off the
where
bench.
He should be anyway.
Yeah, and so all this concern about the Rockets, Dell's like, boys, this could be a 2-game win streak for your Rockets.
Oh, really?
I feel like
no, that's exactly right. You went immediately to the right direction
because that's what I have.
Jimmy
seen
Butler
this.
Out, Adebayo out.
I remember in 1994. Udonis
Haslem not playing.
I was handicapping a Golden State versus New York game, and Golden State was missing Tim Hardaway and Mitch Richmond. And they're playing the Knicks. You remember the Knicks in 94? They played for a title.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is definitely the Knicks. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the line is. And Golden State ended up winning by one with that horrible team. And that was the beginning of me recognizing when situations like this happen, almost always it's a team you don't think it
yes,
should be.
That's exactly right.
I can explain it. Maybe the other team lets down. Maybe this team rises. As soon as I heard, oh, a bunch of Heat are gone, this should be easy. This should be an easy Heat win.
Yep. Because all these guys are playing with a reckless abandon.
You recognize it. It happens
It happens all the time. And not only should you take the points, take the money line when all of the guys are out. Take the money line because that team is going to win the game.
Now, I don't
not
know
just what, cover.
I don't know what this line ended up at. But
what was it?
As you know, Christian Wood did not score more than 18.5 points. I am aware of that. That was something that
what?
Did not happen.
How did he not? What do you mean? He scored 18. He was
I know.
Right there.
He did not have 18
if
and
he
a half.
Hits one more
for
free throw.
For those of you who cared about that kind of thing.
Who cares about that? That John Wall was, you know, his usual 4-for-14. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Back to being John Wall.
His over-under was 20.5, by the way.
Just 8 shots out of Olynyk. Awesome.
I give it up to the Heat. Really, no matter who's on the court for them, they're going to defend.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a team that still plays.
91 for this team. That's pretty good.
Which you could also, you know, you think about it. You got Pat Riley there. You got Eric Spoelstra, who was part of championships. They're not going to be. They don't buy into just the pure Daryl Morey. And now I love that Daryl's like, threes are worth too much. They're just worth too much. Like, Daryl, you started this crap.
No,
out of it.
Oh, stop.
You've helped
stop.
Ruin part of basketball. I mean, I know some people think shooting 100 threes a game is the best thing ever for basketball. But if you actually watched basketball that is played well, and Golden State Warriors did during their championship years, it is much better to see the back cuts, to see movement, to see really what is our version of the beautiful game.
You know,
before the Americans went and tried to ruin the beautiful game in England.
Man, your bias has just leaked through.
Sorry,
yeah,
Daryl.
That was for me. I was listening to the show before ours here on ESPN 97.5. And they went back-to-back Tim Legler and Dan Orlovsky, backup white guys they went with. In analysis,
at least Legler was an elite 3-point shooter.
Yeah, but you know,
he had a role.
Still, yeah,
Dan Orlovsky is just a backup.
Backup.
Legler was just a.
He started. He ran out of the end zone. But Legler said, and I was like, oh, Dell's going to be pissed about this. He said, oh, you know, the Nets. I want to see him get to. Yeah, it's starting to get a little worrisome. if they're not playing together. Now Kevin Durant is out again with a different injury, but these guys aren't playing together. The first round, they're going to get a bye pretty much. But and Adele was like, oh, Adele had his little teacup
You mean the defending Eastern Conference champions as a bye?
Is that bye?
That's a little strange to say that when you know Jimmy's waiting for
Well, Well, maybe.
It's all bunched up. Yeah. I mean, they're a game back of fifth and a game and a half back, and Atlanta's the fourth seed. They could very well face Boston as a seven. The bye would be if they're two and they see Charlotte or something.
Yeah.
That's the bye. But if they're two and they see the Celtics, who, you know, they're not playing great. They just lost Chicago at home.
They suck for whatever reason.
Yeah, but they got guys, and the Heat have guys. So I don't – the Nets – they're not going to care, but they probably should be shooting for one, because then you're probably guaranteed some form of Washington or Charlotte or
I'm sure
something.
They are, just nobody shows up. Well, Kyrie shows up when he wants.
That's true.
James, hamstrings.
But here's the problem for Miami.
He's going to just hug guys on the sidelines.
But if Miami, it's really the problem for every team, not just Miami, but specifically Miami in this case, if they played, is that they can go get a bunch of buckets. I mean, if the three of them are on the court, and really you just need two of the three. And I don't know that Miami can keep up the pace scoring-wise. And really, frankly, I don't know anybody in the East. I mean, Milwaukee, Milwaukee has just been kind of blasé. It's weird. It's you cannot get – this is supposed to be a season with Milwaukee, the Lakers, the Clippers. This is incredible. What an incredible year this is going to be. And the Lakers have had the injuries. And every time I look up, the Lakers are a six-point underdog at home against somebody. Like, oh, look, the Knicks are a favorite in L.A. Like, it's not been that kind of season for the Lakers. It's not been that kind of season for the Knicks. It's not been that kind of season for Milwaukee. It has not been this, you know, we're expecting like three or four major teams, the Brooklyn Nets. And it was actually going pretty well for the Nets until they got injured. But, you know, the idea was, wow, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, the Clippers, the Lakers, this is really going to be some fantastic high-end teams, and maybe it'll end up that way. That hasn't really played out that way in this 72.
Well, guys aren't on the court. Last night, you had Steph doing his thing. He's on a heater
right now.
I mean,
Steph
but is you had in, Steph. It was Embiid and Tobias Harris in play, Ben Simmons in play.
Hold on. Did y'all ever – we never talked about it on the show for my 3 hours. Y'all probably never mentioned it either. There was a shot that Steph Curry made that was one of the greatest shots I've ever seen in the NBA. He got somebody up off the ground, like around the three-point line. I don't know if he was technically, if it was a three or not. They jumped up, and when they came down, Steph jumped up. They grabbed his right arm, so he threw a left-hand hook shot up and made it from like three and with an and one. I had never seen a shot like that. You got to look it up. It's bananas. It's one of the best shots I've ever seen. It's not one of those, you know, flip it up around the rims. Like, you got to get distance with that. And he's always making shots like that. He will go down as – we are watching the greatest shooter I think that's ever lived.
Yeah.
In all likelihood. Ray Allen was a great shooter, but this is just a different thing.
Oh, my gosh. It was a hook shot.
Yeah. Isn't it ridiculous?
That's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
That is unbelievable. We're watching. He is the best three-point shooter ever. And you can have Clay. I'll take – if I've got to have a bucket with a gun to my head, I have to have a bucket. I want Steph.
Yeah, Steph creates off the dribble like no other. His handle's probably not as great as Kyrie's, but the guy can shoot, and he's just playing with dudes right now. I mean, what the Sixers did defensively last night, they just kept putting Embiid in pick and roll. Embiid's not going to come out there. They played some drop coverage, and Embiid's not comfortable out there. So you set a pick, and Embiid's sagging 6 feet off, and Steph's going to launch.
That's right. That's it.
The Sixers have no chance against the Sixers have no chance against Brooklyn. Ironically, I think James will finally be. James did things to kind of Daryl put all of his love and heart and trust in James, and in the postseason when they start to put Joel Embiid in the popcorn popper with the high screen and roll stuff, it'll be just like Dwight Howard all over again. It's going to be a major, major concern for them. Your Rockets are doing their business. 4-33.
They're doing business.
Yeah.
All right.
That was something that happened. You did not have to worry about Los Astros. I am a little.
They're all coming back except Altuve tomorrow.
Yeah. So everyone's good. Back. Is Did they say, did Tuve catch it?
Yeah, Tuve's got it.
It's Tuve's the one.
He's the one. I was a buddy, Carlos, who said, I don't know how Carlos is hanging around Altuve all the time, how he didn't catch it.
So these guys haven't gotten the vaccine?
I don't know. Maybe Carlos got the vaccine. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but you can still.
It was available.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. But you can still carry it, I guess, if you have the vaccine. You can still carry it.
Well, so yeah, but if you
still have to. You still have to. If you were around somebody for 10 minutes and less than 6 feet away, then you have to quarantine or whatever.
You're not going to have any symptoms. I mean, I've been reading up on this.
You know what's funny, though, is contact tracing. People know how close you are to someone for how many minutes. It's the government that's in your business right now, okay? The government is in your business.
Like I said, I'm a firm believer in you can be all up in my business all you want.
You don't care.
Do I care?
Well,
Lance is.
What if you're a crook?
Lance went to... Yeah, Casa do Brasil. He wasn't supposed to. His wife didn't know.
Well, what if then his wife will know?
Tell her. I don't care. Tell her. I'm saying, you know what? I just love their delicious selection of meats.
You talking flagrant right now? Tell her.
But oh, yeah.
She's doing her workout in the house. She's got her little app called Sweat, and she's doing some grinding workout at the house. And then I know she's not in the car, so right now it's completely. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. You're flagrant, right, but you didn't tell her when you went because you know better.
Yeah, it's not her business.
Mm-hmm. Did you come home and say, guess where I just was?
No. Okay. That's whenever I had the.
I'm going into my room, putting the towel down and watching and eating.
I hide behind draft profiles up here. I stay up here until 7 when I'm finally fully digested. Full. And then I go home and eat again. it's a little tougher when you. Have you ever done that where you didn't want your wife to know? Like you ate something, you were supposed to go eat. You're supposed to do something, and then you have to pump fake and eat again, even if it's
no,
not like,
no. I never did that. I can tell my wife when I go out to eat.
I said
I don't hide eating.
Well,
now,
like, okay. Have now, you never gone to Ryan Lachey's and like snuck some happy hour drinks, and then Ryan sends you food
different.
Out, and then you come home like, oh, how'd your draft profiles go? Great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, look, I made this food. I'm like. Oh, man, you know what?
Papa
Charlie's brought some food up today at lunch. AJ and the guys had me come in and eat. Look how easy that is.
Yeah.
Oh, Papa Charlie. You just throw Papa Charlie's bomb at somebody.
Yeah, I'm going to eat that tomorrow, though. Put it in the fridge.
We had Chris Williams came up from Lucille's. It's like,
That's all. No, that's perfect.
No, put it in the fridge. That looks really good. Here, let me get a bite of that. I'm actually still hungry, but I'm not going to eat any more of this orzo.
It's 7-Eleven ESPN 97.5. Time for me. And listen, when we come back on the other side, big, big stuff coming out of the Deshaun thing. And Rusty Harden sent his response. Oh, he got, well, Rusty, yeah, Rusty got a little aggressive.
Rusty finally got off the schneid. Look at Rusty Rocket. Rusty Rocket with a win.
Yep.
With a win in Orlando.
So we'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, I want to talk about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. Listen, I buy from Chastang Ford because they are the best people that are going to give me the best deal, that I can trust them, that I know, first of all, I know that the service is going to be the best in the city. This is not even going to be arguable. I know that the product, I love my Expedition, and right now the 2020s are still on the lot and I got to get rid of them. They're going to get $15,000 off on the remaining Explorers, up to $15,000 off Explorers and Expeditions, no dealer add-ons. So when they tell you the price, that is going to be the price as opposed to all the other stuff that the other dealerships are going to try to do. Right now you get payments as low as $199 on the 2020 Ford EcoSport S with only $1,000 down. This is a great starter car. It is awesome. And here's the thing. It's the most important thing is that you know you're getting the best deal that you can, and you're getting it from the best people. You're getting it from people that are not going to try to just gouge you, and that happens at all the dealerships. It doesn't happen at Chastang Ford, I'm telling you. You will love doing business with these people. They are honorable, and they're wonderful people. You are going to love the Chastangs. You're going to be part of the Chastang family. So stop on by. You can do it all online at ChastangFord.com. It's off 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Tell them you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
With the first choice in the 2002 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select David Carr, quarterback from Fresno State.
How can you prove that here? It's not like this is a surprise. Hey, look, 6'3", as Mel talked about, 46 touchdowns, 9 interceptions last year. I don't care what level you're playing at. I mean, that's 70 TD passes, 23 picks for your career.
When you look at a quarterback like Joey Harrington, we talk about leadership, and we go back, and yeah, I'll tell you, if I didn't think Joey Harrington and David Carr play, I'd tell you, I think they would be overrated. I'd push them down to 30th, 50th, and Jeff George, 84th, Meyer, 30th. I don't see anything with Harrington or Carr that you can't say is a question mark in terms of them becoming a quality starting quarterback. Sure, you can say Carr, the sidearm delivery. You can say Harrington doesn't have the gun. There are a lot of quarterbacks that don't have tremendous arm strength and win Super Bowls. So to me, if I thought they were overrated, I'd tell you. I don't see that happening with these two. I think they're going to both be solid or much better than that at the pro level. And I think when you look at Carr and Harrington 3-4 years down the road, you are not going to call any one of these two players a bust or a disappointment.
You're such a hater.
What the?
You know what? I got to speak up for Mel.
19 years ago today?
I got to speak up for Mel.
19 years ago today, David Carr. With the first joint, did it say?
First pick.
Oh, I thought it said the first joint. It's 420. Today's 420.
Well, maybe Charlie
Bell's
was
commemorating
high.
Something else.
No, I'm commemorating the pick of David Carr.
Oh, wow. I thought you were. It's Weed Day.
That wow. Too.
How are we going to commemorate weed?
Well, we can play some songs. But yeah. But David
let's play
Carr
some
was
weed songs today.
Selected this day, 19 years ago.
19 years ago.
And you have to play that whole long thing. Because yeah, why? Because you're a guy who hates on draft commentators. We need to scrub that from the internet. Mm-hmm.
Look how bad he was.
That was, I mean, it just went on and on like, oh. Ooh, every. And I tell you, by the end of this thing, I think you're going to say about both these guys, that's a hard imitation. There's a Baltimore. It's called Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Accent. And a few people can do it well. Frank Caliendo can do it well. But yeah, that's painful to listen to. You were not going to have, let's face it. Nobody on TV ever says a bad thing about really ever any picks. That's their special day. But well, back in the day, you could be honest.
Yeah.
You can't do it now. Now you're hurting children. You're hurting their family.
No, you just put out a story about he had overcome his mom dying from crack. That's the story.
Ooh.
You put out.
No, oh, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, you do those stories.
You could
now
just say somebody was in prison or got on crack like they did with T. Higgins. But although they were actually doing that to show, you know, this kid has overcome a lot of adversity. I'm like, yeah, but that's putting the kid's personal. It's somebody's tone deaf in the building. They're trying to show this is an amazing story. This is incredible. He overcame that. I get that, guys. But let's not put his family's business out there unless this is has been an article that he has taken part in and is well known as part of the ESPN.com. You know, unless he took part in an article that was done. You don't put people's business like your mom was addicted in prison for crack.
No.
Just don't do that. Like,
no.
And it's tone deaf. And I know why they were doing it. They were doing it because everyone likes a feel-good story. And one of the things I found is I put Colleen Wolf on the Hassan Reddick story. I heard him talking to a San Francisco 49ers scout on the field of the Senior Bowl and how his mom, she worked two jobs to get him to Rutgers, and he promised that he would never, ever let her down. And it was this great story he was telling this guy. And it was just his personal stuff and what his mom had to do and what he had been through with his dad and all this stuff. And I told Colleen Wolf, and she mentioned it on Twitter, and it went crazy. Like, they did a whole story on it, and it became a big story in the NFL. And then I told the next year, it was Shaquem Griffin. I said, look, you got to get up on Shaquem Griffin, this is going to be a really huge story. Early on, before it really took off, the guy has, he's a twin brother. He's Conference USA. He's really a good player. I don't know about the pro prospects. It's hard. He doesn't have a hand. I mean, it's hard to tackle. It's just in. But I said he's been incredibly productive. Well, now every year, ESPN and my network, NFL Network, they want the heart tug. And like, what is there? Is there a Shaquem Griffin story? I'm like, that's a once in a life. You're not going to find a lot of Shaquem Griffin stories.
No,
I will tell you that. A one-hand guy who was a conference player of the year?
No.
I mean.
You're not going to get that. All right, let's teased it, so let's talk a little bit about this Deshaun Watson story from yesterday. If you haven't heard, Rusty Harden responded. Today we answered, this is in a statement. Today we answered the lawsuits filed against our client, Deshaun Watson. Mr. Watson has been adamant that he did not engage in any improper conduct, and we strongly believe him. Therefore, the answer to the question of whether we are saying that all 22 plaintiffs are lying about the allegations of sexual misconduct by Mr. Watson is a resounding yes. We and Mr. Watson take allegations of sexual allegations very seriously. We should. We waited to respond. Ba-ba-ba-ba-bing. We are... Only two of these 22 lawsuits allege forced sexual activity, which Mr. Watson vehemently denies. In the case of Shanae Lawson, her business manager acknowledged to Mr. Watson's marketing manager that the contact was consensual, but she still wanted money. And in the case of Marshall Davis, witnesses state that Ms. Davis was happy and excited after she massaged Mr. Watson. She lied about being alone at the spa with him. She knew there was a security guard present at all times when Mr. Watson was there. In addition, she told witnesses that if Mr. Watson had paid her off, she would have supported him instead of suing him.
This is why I said, and first of all, I think there's plenty of contact that was non-consensual in terms of touching and all that stuff. I do believe that happened. But this is why I feel like you got to let the other side have their day in court and let them hear what they have. Because all of a sudden, do you feel like it swung you at all in any way, shape, or form?
Oh, well, here's
in terms
deal.
Of the totality of this.
Well, here's the deal. Is the most egregious and the most troubling were the forced. Mm-hmm. And if they do have... If this is true, what they're saying, now the other stuff still may be true. There still may have been contact. He still may be whatever.
It's still
he's
a problem.
He's a serial.
It's
yes,
still a problem.
He's a serial.
That's not
unit
considered
shower,
okay.
Whatever. All of those things.
Toucher.
But as far as criminality and as far as big money goes, because again. There's going to be a number on, well, he exposed himself. He moved this way so I would touch it. I mean, he asked me to do all these things. Those are all, that's all fine. No, that's not fine. But those are all problem.
Right.
But the forced oral is criminal. So if they can refute that, then all of the other stuff, I think, can be settled and Deshaun can get out of this thing. And play some football at some point in the near future.
I've never at any point thought he would not play. This will blow over. I've never not thought that.
No, I mean in the near future.
Right, but here's – well, he is going to be suspended.
Yes.
There's no way around it. And the second thing is there was never going to be criminal charges because you have no evidence. They were not going to be able to get criminal based on, well, look how many people. Like, you're going to have evidence. That's how criminal works. You can't just say, well, this many people – you have to have evidence, and there was never going to be evidence unless there was a text exchange, direct message, or there's video or audio. So I never really thought a criminal, like, could it be filed? It could be filed. He was never going to be prosecuted unless they had something. But it does not surprise me, though, that there are some people in here potentially are not being completely forthright and who you may have your own. This is why Deshaun's side wanted to know who the names were. It's not just to publicly humiliate. They need to know who the ghosts were. I was told it's like they're fighting. This is what my comment is. It's like fighting ghosts. You have no idea who you're fighting against. You can't defend yourself if you don't know who it is that's accusing you. And once they had the names, Deshaun could go, yes, yes, no, no, whatever he does. I know that their side, I truly believe that they believe they can get a settlement done. Once they had the names out, they think they can get a settlement done sometime before the draft. I don't think that's going to happen before the draft, But their thought was, this is what I've heard. Their thought is they could get this thing done way sooner than people believe. So it would not shock me now if they start to shave off from 22, 23 down to whatever number, and they will go hard after people they believe are lying. They're going to keep going hard after them, and you're going to see some of the people, I think, if they are not being truthful, I don't think they're going to keep this up.
Well,
because they have no if they're being truthful, you're going to stay in it. But if you think that I'm not being truthful or I have exaggerated or potentially put myself in a position to be for people for more scrutiny, I think you'll see other women maybe get out of this. He's going to pay, and he has clearly done some things wrong.
And you look
without
at
question.
Yeah.
According to what happened yesterday, they allege that all of them are lying in some way, shape,
yes.
or form.
Yes.
Now, according to Pro Football Talk, a couple women have said, no, we'll speak to the NFL.
Yeah.
We're more than happy to talk to the NFL. Yeah. So,
there's no repercussions for talking to the NFL and lying to the NFL. So.
Certainly not. So
now, five have still apparently have gone to the police. So,
yeah, so
if they're lying, if they're giving a false account to the police, that's a different story.
Everyone is lying.
And
come on.
There are depositions coming. And if you lie in a deposition, even in a civil suit, you could face perjury charges.
So the salvo by Rusty Harden was strong. Like, everyone's lying, but there's evidence to suggest that some of these women are willing to take it farther than simply saying it in a civil case.
Right.
They're willing to take it.
And we'll see if any of these, now we'll see who backs up.
My prediction is this is going to shave it down to 10 to 12. Maybe tips anywhere between 8 and 12. That's my prediction. It's just a prediction.
Yeah.
That it's going to get shaved down. I always thought it would shave it down when the names are out there and they fight and they start pushing back some. You're going to have some people who potentially went away, but you have others who will not go away, who say, I'm standing up for myself. But I think it's easier to get a deal done or to get a settlement done with X amount. Deshaun wants to play. Deshaun wants to get his salary this year. I'm sure he'd love to get his advertising back. I don't think that's going to happen. As long as Ben Roethlisberger still doesn't have advertising, doesn't even have a shoe deal. It's not just going to come back. Ben won a Super Bowl. It's not just coming back. And he's very popular in Pittsburgh. These advertising dollars aren't coming back for Deshaun. So that's gone. But his reputation and salary, that's what they're trying to mend. But, the thing is, he's clearly done some stuff that is a little on the creepy side. And how is this going to affect him moving forward? Is this something he needs to go get help for? Certainly sounds like it.
Yep. 8728 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you have any thoughts on any of this or anything else, you are more than welcome to get this done. I want to talk right now about Scott McGrath over at McGrath Pest Control. I got my mosquito murdering system in. They installed it. It is spectacular, people. And this summer, if you're going to spend any time in the backyard, if you've got a pool or whatever, it is awesome. Mine goes off at dawn and dusk. And I can't guarantee that you're not going to have any mosquitoes back there, but I'm not going to have any mosquitoes back there. And here's the deal. It's such a wonderful, it's a brand new system that they just got, that they developed. This has been in development for a while now, and this is the newest model, and it's unbelievable. And it is so great. McGrath Pest Control is so good. The installation was spectacular, the knowledge of what these guys can do. It is awesome. Of course, they can come to your home with a regular, the regular service, killing termites, mosquitoes, ants, roaches, fleas, everything else. But if you're looking for a great way to get those mosquitoes, if you've got mosquitoes in your backyard and you've got the kids out there and whatnot, this is a safe and wonderful way for you to keep those mosquitoes away if you spend any time in your backyard. 281-469-8240, 281-469-8240, or McGrathPestControl.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the the Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 7:31 on ESPN 97.5. So I'm looking through a three-round mock draft, Lance. And they have the Texans taking Peyton Turner with the 67th pick.
Would love it. Won't make it, but would love it.
He won't make it there.
I think he goes second round, but that's borderline second.
Peyton Turner is a defensive end from the University of Houston. What an athletic specimen.
Yep.
He plays. I mean, he had some injury problems this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So he missed a little bit of time. But he looks like a
5 technique almost. Like you get the sense he could grow into 290 pounds.
Yeah.
Long arms. He's got like 35-inch arms, which are long. He looks like a guy who might play for the Steelers, you know, who grows into a Steeler body. Like that's what their 5 techniques. Shredded.
Yeah.
I mean, good lean muscle mass, but they're big, strong. But he plays base end, and when you watch him rush, you see it like, yeah, he's got some juice off the, for being a big guy. You could see him play 4-3 end or 3-4-5 technique. The question is he going to be tough enough? And I ask around, and they say, yeah, I think he's tough enough to play 5 technique. Because you're playing a little more inside. You're playing heads up or even 4-eye, which is on the inside eye of the tackle, to where you're going to catch double teams between tackle guards. You got to have a little toughness. But Peyton Turner, I think, is going to go in the second round. I don't think he'll make it. But if he slides even just a little bit, he'll be there for the, you know, that's Texans territory.
Yeah.
I would love it. I would love it if Peyton Turner were the pick. That'd be great.
Yeah. No, no. And
I don't think that's a crazy, you know, I don't think that's a crazy.
No, this is a guy that could be here for 4 years. And you that's a position. I know you got Shaq Lawson, but.
For 1 year.
Yeah, right.
But I was looking at everyone's roster. Do you know how many people are doing that this year? Almost every team you look at, everyone's a free agent next year. The free agent market is going to be, and keep this in mind for the Texans.
Well, the cap's going up too next year.
The cap's going up. The free agent market, the amount of players who are going to be free agents next year is going to be staggering. So many teams have players who are done after 2021. It's because a lot of the free agents who were signed are just short-term deals. No agent wanted to. What agent wants to do a long-term deal when the cap is restricted? Nobody.
Yeah.
They all want to wait for next year's money, other than the very best players who got chunks of money. So Texans will have a chance. It won't happen this year, obviously, but they'll have a chance next year if some of this stuff clears out. Now, here's the thing, John. If they move Deshaun Watson, there's going to be a chunk that hits them on the cap next year, and it's going to reduce their amount that they can spend.
I wonder if this news yesterday doesn't rekindle some interest in other teams where they're like, ooh,
it would for me.
Deshaun gets out of this.
It would for me if I were a team.
Yeah. Maybe Deshaun isn't going to. And, hey, we need a court. Carolina, Chicago.
Light at the end of the tunnel. Boy, if you could get Deshaun on a 4-game suspension.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd be thinking about doing it right. Chicago would be the team that you would think would consider it, although they've already made a promise to Andy Dalton. And a promise is a promise. You cannot go back on Andy Dalton's QB1 promise. I'm sorry.
No.
Sorry, you cannot. You promised Andy.
Well, that was the PR department that promised Andy, by the way.
Oh.
The Bears organization said we didn't say that.
Andy said they did.
Yeah, well, no, the PR department got in trouble for putting out QB1.
How about let's talk about this for a second. Are you ready to have this conversation? Bring the KD Rocket home. Deshaun, as part of a package deal, Andy Dalton comes back.
And he's QB1 here?
He's QB1.
I think
here.
He'd be QB2.
They just said he'd be QB1. They didn't say where.
Yeah, right. But I don't know that.
Are you ready to bring Andy home?
Are you sure he's beating out Tyrod Taylor?
Are you ready to bring Andy home?
I'm ready to bring him home.
The Red Rifle. I called him Red Rocket. Similar, but different.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I called him KD Rocket. Yeah.
No, that was Roger.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Red Rocket, Red Rifle, whatever.
Red Rover, come over.
I shouldn't say Red Rocket when we're talking about the Deshaun.
Yeah, the Red Rocket.
Yeah. Are you ready for Andy Dalton to be your next starting quarterback?
No.
Is this something you're ready for?
No, it's not something I'm ready
for. What if they also send you a bunch of picks?
Well, that's different. Okay.
Andy Dalton would find himself in the backup quarterback role.
Yes, he'd be a backup here. He would be a backup to Rod here.
Texans better stop playing around with this. Let's trade him the Bears. You're trying to screw the Texans over, Lance.
I'm trying to what?
You're trying to screw the Texans over with trading him to the Bears. Do I got to lay it out for you?
Yeah.
Who has 3 first round picks in next year's draft? Potentially.
In next year's? 20... Not you guys.
Don't. No. They have one of ours.
Thank God.
If Carson Wentz plays enough, they'll have the Colts first rounder, and they'll have their own.
Oh, Eagles?
Yes.
Oh, that's perfect, too.
Yeah, let's.
Because you give Jalen a year. I just think Jalen's a guy. And I don't think he's special.
And because if he's not special, you'll have an Eagles pick that's relatively high. Maybe the Colts and the Dolphins picks aren't great for you. But that's 3 first-round picks in one draft.
By the way, I'm not 100% sure. I'm not 100% sure that Deshaun was on board with Philadelphia previously. Because he didn't like some of their receivers. I'm like, dude, if you want to leave, you just need to leave. Yeah. Is this... You can't nitpick this whole thing into oblivion. You're going to have to, you know, open up a little bit. But Philadelphia also, well, now they move back to number 12. So we'll see. No, yeah, number 12. So we'll see what ends up there. But I think Deshaun's desire to get out of town will open up the door to a few more teams when it's finally ready to go. You think there's any chance he gets traded? I don't think so. Before the draft? I just don't think it's possible. There's still too much.
This develops really.
But you have to know what his punishment. You have to know what his punishment is.
Not before. I mean, it's next week, so no. Now that
you call Roger Goodell and just say, "Hey, Roger, it's me.
Yeah,
Johnny McCaskey. I was wondering, is that his name? Who owns the McCaskeys? No. Marge McCaskey.
Johnny McCaskey.
Johnny McCaskey. No,
who is it?
I don't even know. McCaskey.
Yeah,
it was. Mrs. McCaskey.
Yeah, whatever.
Son, what,
and they
know.
Call him like, hey, we were wondering, could you give us a heads up on, like, if you just had to spitball it right now?
Virginia Hylas McCaskey.
Yeah.
And what's the
and
son?
And George McCaskey.
There you go. George.
Whatever.
And he says,
is it
hey.
George?
Yes.
No one knew that.
Listen, I know you, I'm not going around, we're not going to hold you to this, but like, how many games would you guess? Like, he'll play next year, right? You know, it's just too early to say. But based on what you've heard.
Yeah, what's the chart on 22 sexual
versus
encounter
10,
and
versus 10
accusations? Right. Well, now if it's down to 12, what do you think?
It usually
is
goes.
That a, is that 4 games? Is that maybe 3.5? He can come back the second half of the fourth
it.
Game?
Here's how it usually
half
works.
Half a game per allegation.
You divide it.
Well, I don't know.
I
don't know what it is.
Then, you divide
we don't
it
know
by
the number
two.
Yet, though.
Have we ever seen 22 allegations before?
No. You divide it by 2 and you add 3. Okay, so 22, that's like a whole season. What if it's 10? 5, 8, that's 8.
Wait, that's 8. No, it's 17.
Divide by 2
season.
Plus
now,
3.
He can he might be able to come back with 3 games left. So
that's not enough to trade your first round pick. You get it to 8.
Mm.
Divide by 2, add 3. In this formula that doesn't exist.
Oh, if you get rid of some of these, yeah.
It doesn't exist. Oh, this has always been about vet. They know they're not getting out of this thing.
Yeah.
Deshaun, Rusty knows that. It's just about lower. It's about finding who is in it that shouldn't be in this. And even if you are supposed to be in it, Rusty's trying to eliminate what Rusty's doing so he can get a deal done. And they can move on from this. I don't think Deshaun can get traded before. Too many meetings have been had. We're sitting here April 20th. Too many meetings have been had. Too many discussions have been had. This is not enough information for you to trade for Deshaun Watson. It's just not enough. You don't have enough information. You haven't been able to do your own background on Deshaun because the NFL people are going to go to these, like teams can go to these women and talk to them. They're going to, like teams have their own way of doing things and they get some information and the league gets some information sometimes that isn't as forthcoming. They go talk to everybody. So that's why the Deshaun thing, the people talking to the NFL, that still should be a concern for Deshaun Watson's side, and I suppose the Texans too, because they will dig in like they did on, like they got a bunch of stuff. They got so much stuff on Zeke, or they had enough stuff on Zeke with their own discussion that they're like, yeah, we don't really care what happens here
right.
with the criminal. Yeah. We've got what we right. need, so we don't know what Dallas's police force is going
to
do.
Nothing can happen till the summer or even till next offseason with Deshaun. So that's going to happen. Hey, when we come back, a very interesting article that we're going to talk about approximate value of draft picks. Since we're heading towards the draft, this is a really, really interesting discussion.
Oh, about, is that the one I sent you?
I saw it before that, yeah.
33rd team?
I get their stuff now.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great.
The 33rd team, and then there's another that came out about the success NFL success rate. We're going to do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. The 33rd team. It's interesting. Who runs this thing? Who is this
again? Well, there's two guys who started it, but they partnered up with Mike Tannenbaum, who's on ESPN this morning. Former Jets general manager. I was invited to just take part in the Zooms and watch the Zooms. They have a Zoom meeting every Wednesday. And some of the people who, like, this is a real hidden gem right now. If you look up 33rd Team and you go to YouTube, you may see 900 views on Ben McAdoo breaking down guys like Zach Wilson. Ben McAdoo, former head coach, quarterback coach for Eli Manning, former head coach of the New York Giants. Ben McAdoo is breaking down, with coach's tape, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilson. That's a big deal. Yeah, like, it's really impressive watching this. Wade Phillips does a little bit in there. Doug Peterson was on the Zoom. I could see him. Greg Cosell from NFL Films.
Listen, it's an unbelievable name.
Joe Banner.
Oh, yeah.
Formerly of the Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles, that's right.
Eagles, we use their cap guy. And Chris Palmer is in there. Chris Palmer does some offensive. He's looked at some guys. You got some defensive
Chris
guys.
Palmer is still around.
You got some analytics guys who do stuff. Oh, medical. I watched four medical videos that gave me great insight into Landon Dickerson, Jalen Waddle, Jalen Phillips, and Caleb Farley. The Caleb Farley and Landon Dickerson sound like they're potential problems. Jalen Waddle does not. And it was a doctor. She is an orthopedic doctor who had a bunch of information about these injuries. Now, she doesn't have their specific medicals, like their imaging, but she said typically on these injuries, this is what you're looking at. And it's unbelievably valuable.
Yeah. All right, so using approximate value to evaluate first-round draft success. Approximate value is a method created by Pro Football Reference in an attempt to put a single number on the seasonal value of a player at any position from any year since 1950. With this, the value success creates a standard metric that will allow for the comparison of players. So, first-round picks, average yearly approximate value by position based on their first 4 years of approximate value. This is from 2012 to 2019. So, it's 8 years worth. Because you can't tell what the 2020 guys, the 21 guys yet. You can't tell because, okay, so they don't have enough time in the league. The best position of first rounders, the most success, defensive end. QB is second. Offensive tackle is third. Then wide receiver, cornerback. The least successful positions, center, tight end, and safety. Now get this. The most successful pick, number pick, 1 through 32, the number one overall pick is the most successful. It's got a first-year average yearly AV of 8.690. The second best pick of any of the numbers is the 13th pick. Isn't it? That's kind of weird. And then it's 5th, 6th, 4th, 8th, 2, the second pick in the draft. It ranks 10th overall, which is weird. The 13th pick, some of the guys that were the 13th pick, Aaron Donald, Laramie Tunsil.
This is just a random crazy thing. I try to think of why this is the case.
I have no idea.
But here's why. They're usually great. A lot of times they can be really good players who fall for reasons, usually physical. Laramie Tunsil.
Or Aaron Donald was just under, didn't believe in him.
People loved him. Here's why they fall. That's a physical measurement thing. Laramie Tunsil, that's the weed mask. Go through some of these. Sheldon Richardson was kind of a tweener, defensive tackle, defensive end.
The worst pick in the first round?
It's unbelievable.
The 22nd pick.
Yeah.
The 22nd pick.
Second, number two and number three are no great shakes.
No, two is 10th, and three doesn't come in until 22nd.
Yeah, three is terrible.
Terror is terrible.
And you know, and you think about this, why? Okay, one is clear-cut one, and we all can think of all the twos that are busts. But once you get to three,
well,
I'll tell you, so one thing is a lot of times they're quarterbacks, so yes, they're reaches anyway.
They're reaches.
And then the other thing is you now are you're trying to shoot for number one type player, but that doesn't exist at three. A number one type player is typically beyond what a number three is.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's it goes 1, 13, 5, 6, 4, and then down the line. The 22nd pick is the worst pick of the first round. These players include Josh Doctson, Johnny Manziel, and Brandon Whedon. The great Brandon Whedon is what we're putting in here.
I hear some pretty
good great Brandon
Whedon. I hear
Whedon.
Some pretty good drafting teams, the Cleveland Browns and Washington football.
Yeah, right.
People.
Right. That's where they did it. The top performers by pick over these last 8 years. Jared Goff is the best number one pick.
Yeah.
But Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl. I mean, I think we undervalue what Jared Goff.
But also,
he was in a good offense. He had production.
Say the worst now.
The worst in the over the first pick.
Yep.
Jadeveon Clowney.
Yep. And they're using approximate value, or I think that's what it's called, AV. It's on Pro Football Reference is how they use this. Pro Football Reference is a phenomenal site. Been using it for years and years. But they do have some basic analytics. Based information on there as well. And they have AV for every player. Like, how much value were you worth in your particular seasons? And when they added up the times that Jadeveon Clowney, you know, from his, like, what his average value per season, remember, he's also had some injuries, but he came out as last.
Yeah, the worst. Yeah. 7.25.
He hasn't been in the league 10 years. And this is a 10-year study, right?
It's from 2012 to 19. Carson Wentz was the best second overall pick. Robert Griffin, the worst.
Yep.
Well, Blake Bortles was the best third. That's where third comes in 22nd. Blake Bortles was the best third overall pick during this time. Deion Jordan, who I told Dell when they picked him, was going to suck. And Dell was like, he's great. You don't know anything.
Wow.
So terrible.
I never said he was great.
Yeah, you said he was great.
I did. No, I didn't actually.
Zeke was the best. Denzel Ward was the worst fourth pick. Now you get into some guys here, and the worst, like Justin Gilbert, he had problems. He had a lot of problems. Josh Rosen is a problem. He's a problem. You got Johnny Manziel as the 22nd. He was the worst 22nd overall pick. Paxton Lynch was the worst 26th. How about Marcus Davenport is the worst 14th overall pick? They gave up an extra first rounder for him.
Yeah, I thought it was stupid.
It was dumb.
It was dumb. Marcus Davenport wasn't great on tape. I'm telling you, more and more like guys like these, I'm hitting these guys. The guy who was the cornerback from Central Florida, Mike, who the Vikings drafted. Is it Vikings? Mike Harris. I'll get it for a second. You know, these guys, I don't feel. Same thing with when something doesn't feel right, something feels off. And if I had a guy like that right now, it's definitely Gregory Rousseau, or something just doesn't, it's something's off there with Gregory Rousseau. The thing that's harder though is he only has 1 year. Like, this is not a typical year. So he has more growing and he can get better. But every year there's guys like that where you feel like something's not quite right.
The Texans show up a few times on here.
Imagine that.
The first place, the first place they show up is Deshaun Watson at 12. That was the best number 12 overall pick. Then the 20th overall pick is Brandon Cooks, Texan. Okay, so they show up there. The 23rd overall pick, Titus Howard, was the best 23rd overall pick. TJ Watt, the brother of JJ, he shows up as the best 30th overall pick. That's where the Texans showed up, with TJ Watt. Because he's the brother. They also showed up in the worst. And Jadeveon Clowney was the worst number one overall pick. They also showed Barkevious Mingo was here for a minute. He was the worst sixth. Shaq Lawson is here now. The worst 19th pick, along with O.J. Howard. Johnny Manziel, he was almost a Texan. So he shows up there. The Texans looked at him. So he's that's where the Texans come in on the board of best and worst first round picks. So it, really interesting stuff. They put numbers on them like 8.69. I've always wondered, you put like a 6.1 or 6.2. That's really high for a guy, right?
Yeah, 6.61.
No, what is your, how do you, what, why do you put, why isn't it he's 100 and this guy's a 2?
Well, because it allows for more nuance. It's an NFL thing where different people have different charts. This one is one that Daniel Jeremiah used for, I switched mine over to that, which was, it's used by a lot, the Ravens, I think, used it, the,
but what is Eagles. It? What is the standard?
Well,
what's
so,
the highest?
So the standards are like anything over a 7, like a 7.0, or there's different levels, but a 7 or more is going to be more Pro Bowl potential, All Pro caliber.
Who
players.
You have? Who have you had over 7? You've had Sam Darnold.
Yeah. I'd Sam Darnold. I've had guys that you would expect. I had Laremy Tunsil.
Is Lawrence?
Trevor's a 7.4. It's really high. Kyle Pitts is. Devontae Smith is. Jamar Chase is, Waddle's just below that. I've had Laremy Tunsil. I didn't do 7s at that time, but he would have carried a 7. Myles Garrett, all of my top players. Well, the only time I've had a first pick that wasn't was Quinnen Williams. I had him as the first pick of the draft.
Where'd you have Quentin Nelson?
Quentin Nelson was over 7.
He was over 7.
Saquon Barkley. They were the only two who were over 7s that year. Quentin Nelson and Saquon Barkley. So to be over 7's got to be really good. To be a 6 or more, you're a starter. A 6.7 or higher, you're a good first rounder. You're going to be a top 10 type pick. So it allows you also, like there's definitions for each of them. A 6.7 is immediate starter, has a chance to be one of the top, one of the top 5 players at his position early in his career, that kind of stuff. And then a 6.4, first round starter, could start early, will start within 2 years, could start early, has a chance to be one of the top 10 at his position, good player, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know what, this guy may have some deficiencies, has a chance to be an average starter or a good backup. That's like a 6.1. 6.2 would be an average starter. So there's nuance to the different numbers.
Yeah.
That's why. And then you just throw them all in the group. Everyone's a 62. Well, what
yeah,
I do
a
is...
point, like. A 6.2 is a lot better than a 6.1 or a 6.0.
Yeah, 6.0 is like, you remember that? Remember, who's the tackle? The Texan? Julian Davenport.
Yeah.
That's a 6.0. So a 6.0 is a player
a
who has a lot
rounder?
Of traits. No, usually a fourth rounder. They have a lot of traits. Oh. They have physical ability, but they're kind of raw a lot of times. A 6.5 is Marcus Davenport. Boom or bust. They have high end potential. But you can see a lower floor. So Marcus Davenport is a 6.5. I gave Zach Wilson a 6.5 too. Just to let you in on that. And I gave 6.4s to Trey Lance and Justin Fields, which I believe they should be good starters in the NFL. You know, good starters. I'm not going crazy. Mac Jones, I gave a 6.3.
So the guy in, I think it was Orlowski on the show before ours, said that the best tape was Mac Jones. Best tape of anybody, any of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, imagine that.
Well,
it's true.
Yeah.
Mac Jones. Well, so the best tape is Trevor Lawrence. The best tape in terms of outcome is Mac Jones. Now, Joe Burrow had the best tape the year before over Tua and over Herbert. But it's interesting with quarterbacks because you do have to say, okay, well, how much of this Mac Jones tape, he's throwing to wide open guys, but Dan Orlovsky's a quarterback. Like, that's not some slappy saying that. This guy played the position, who knows where the reads typically are, who understands stuff that I'm not going to understand. I mean, that means something when he says something like that. But I also realize that how hard is it when you've got the Joe Moore Award offensive line, the best offensive line in football, Najee Harris, who might be the first running back taken, the first two wide receivers, two of the first three wide receivers were your wide receivers. Like, I mean... how hard is this?
Right. It's 7:58 ESPN 97.5. Keith, we'll get you on the other side. We want to talk some Astros baseball. Don't you go anywhere. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Right. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real.
Let's go!
Fun. Sports.